Good morning, welcome to all our Mossvale family and friends. Thanks for tuning in to our service today, letting us into your homes, into your workplaces. Furthermore, if it's safe to do so today, let us know in comments where you are, where you're based, where you're from, how many miles you are away from our church based here in Paisley. We're delighted that you've joined us this morning. Now, like it or loathe it, and we all loathe it at times, right now we couldn't do without the internet. Almost 4.5 billion people were active internet users as of January 2020, encompassing 59% of the global population. The whole world, we could say, is getting connected. Now, it's nearly 25 years since I got my first mobile phone. And that phone didn't even send text messages. And when we went camping in Oban, there was no signal. There's still no signal in Oban today. And who remembers watching Tomorrow's World in the 1980s as they demonstrated video calls? Who thought, why would anyone need that? Maybe it would be useful for people who use sign language. And yet here we are, several years later, mobile phones, tablets, laptops, gaming consoles, smart TVs, Alexa devices, were more connected than we have ever been before. But today, I want to talk to you about a different type of connection, and that is a relational connection. You see, for so many years, there's been a focus on the individual. There's been a focus on me, on self-expression, on self-esteem, on self-fulfillment. And how many times have we heard, I've really got to do what's best for me? And as a result, we are living in a very disconnected world, a very disconnected society. And it's ironic that at the same time that technology has allowed us to be instantly connected to hundreds of millions of people all around the world instantaneously, that we have been living in one of the most disconnected cultures in history. Sadly, people don't know each other. We've stopped making time for each other. We don't get to know our neighbours. We don't get to know the people who we work with. And sadly, we don't even get to know or take time to get to know the people in our churches. We have been disconnected. But I believe the Lord is saying something to us today, something very significant for our lives and for our families and for our churches and neighborhoods. You see, today, I believe we have been presented with a real opportunity to rectify this cultural problem. Because when social distancing, as they call it, thought we know should really call it physical distancing, when social distancing is allowed to come to an end, I see very clearly that God is going to give an opportunity for purity, but more than that, for godly intimacy and godly closeness, and how we relate to each other and care for each other as the family of God. Amen. You see, the enemy thought he was on the winning team right now. He thought in this moment of madness in the world and chaos and tragedy in the world, the church would somehow be on the decrease. But you better watch out, because actually what's happening here is this. Because of this whole escapade, what's happening is actually created the possibility for the church to draw near to God, but also draw near to each other. And I believe this is the word of the Lord for many today. Strength is going to rise in the church as unity and love increases. And there is going to be such a loud victory shout that will be heard and resonate in the heavens. This great shout, and listen for it, this great shout will cause heaven to be opened up over our nations. And this is what's going to happen. I hear God so clearly here. God will sovereignly pour spiritual rain on his church. On the hard ground, it will soften up once again and be usable to God. And as it becomes usable to God, in that beautiful, beautiful ground that was once dry, life will come again in the dry places, in the parched areas. The Holy Spirit of God, Korobo Shondai, the Holy Spirit of God will touch the dry bones and the dry places of people's lives, and they will live again as God pours out his spiritual rain on you today and on your life today. But here's what you must do. You must open your heart to God for this to be a possibility and for this to become real to you. You must believe this to be the real deal from God, because I believe significantly these things will come to pass. You see, the government are talking about this exit strategy for the country, but the church, I believe, we are getting ready for an entry strategy back into our buildings, back into the places we call our churches, because in that day we will enter our churches with praise and with thanksgiving on our hearts as we raise the hallelujah, not even today, but corporately as we come back together again. God is showing us and revealing to us in these enforced days of isolation, and this is what he's showing us. He's saying, you are not meant to live alone. You're not meant to do life on your own. When our freedom to move and be in relationship has been removed and taken from us, it reveals clearly the plan of God to us. The Bible says in Genesis 2 verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Amen. We were made for relationships. Hallelujah. We were made to be connected one with another. Praise God. There remains a universal need to belong. From the moment you and I were born, we long for the warmth of loving other people. And it's called by some attachment theory. Listen to me now. There is a desire to belong. There is a need to be accepted by other people. There is a need to connect with many at a deeper level. And the Bible has a word for that, and the word is fellowship. Praise God. And so often, you know, we equate fellowship with food or just hanging out with other people, and I love that. And I'm certainly not knocking that. That's a great thing that we should continue to do. But the Bible concept of fellowship, it goes so much deeper. Fellowship is more than just socializing. It is more than networking. True fellowship goes much, much deeper than that. And what it does is this. It refers to a soul-to-soul connection. You see, almost everyone has had an emotional connection with someone else. Many have had an intellectual connection or even a general connection. But we were designed, hear me now, we were designed for so much more than that. You and I were designed to connect at the heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul connection. And that's only possible if you know Jesus and have learned to connect with other believers. You see, connecting with others, it has so, so many benefits. Just practically, it keeps us emotionally healthy. It extends our physical life, and it actually protects us from physical and mental illnesses. Many studies have shown or proven that. But there are also significant spiritual benefits for you and I today. Good spiritual relationships, hear this, good spiritual relationships are a key component of spiritual health for every one of us. And a good part of the New Testament actually concerns itself with how you and I are to relate to other people. So what does it mean to be spiritually tied in or spiritually connected? What is that like? Well, the Bible gives us pictures. The Bible gives us illustrations that say being spiritually connected is like this. And for a few minutes, we're going to look at what that looks like, because you see, a lot of people misunderstand what church or church life is all about. Church isn't a place that we attend. Although being together is wonderful and coming together is great, but church is a group to be connected to. Hallelujah. Getting connected, so getting connected spiritually is an essential for proper spiritual or Christian living. So as the church, we need to get connected all the time with other people. And you might ask, what is it like then, Pastor, to be spiritually connected? Well, have you ever heard someone described as a brick? Listen, that's a compliment. A brick. To be called a brick is a compliment. It means a good, solid, substantial, trustworthy person that you can rely upon. And that's a picture that we see quite frequently in the Word of God, because the church is compared to a spiritual building. Read Ephesians 2, chapters 20 and verse 22 with me today. Verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, hallelujah, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. First Peter goes on to say in chapter 2 verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the church, now this little part, I thank Pastor Debbie for this little part, the church is like a giant construction site right now. For over 2,000 years, the construction has continued. God compares the church to a building, and he compares us to bricks, living stones in that building. And I have to say, and I agree with this, the church right now may be under a little bit of reconstruction, and we're open to that, and we're open to whatever God is doing and what God is saying. For the first 300 years, churches had no buildings. Many times today, we think of Mossvale as being a building located on Greenock Road. Listen to this. The cornerstone was put in place in 1882, finished in 1884. But God tells us that the church isn't a building. The church is a people. Hallelujah. And praise God. And amen. That's you today. Each one of us right now is a brick in the church that God is building. Is somebody hearing this today? Because the bricks outside aren't the bricks of the church that God is building. No, sir. We are the bricks in the church that God is building. So come on, church. The Word of God says if we don't praise him, the rocks or the bricks will cry out. So today, if you're sitting at home and you're a living stone, why don't you shout out? Is there any living stones out there? If there are, let me hear you say amen. No, I didn't hear that. Let me hear you say amen. You're going to have to shout pretty loud. So let's change this. And after three, let's shout Jesus together so that our neighbors know that we're worshiping God together in our homes. Maybe I'll hear some people over the road who attend church as we shout. So after three, one, two, three, Jesus! Hallelujah. Did you all shout? How do you feel? I bet you feel better after lifting up and shouting the name of Jesus. Now let's come back to this building, because this building was renovated by and for this congregation starting in 1974. But just as work on the building is never complete, God too has never stopped building his true church. Amen. And if we are bricks in the spiritual building God is constructing, then you and I need to get connected at some level. Paul writes, you two are being built together. Now, we moved house last year, as many of you will know. And when we moved into that house, it looked okay to start with, but then we discovered it was a wreck. It was a bomb site. Ceilings fell in, Floors were lifted. Dry rot was revealed everywhere. Plaster, wood, wires lying all over the place. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Supply tools were there. Materials were everywhere, lying in piles. Nothing looked right because nothing was working and nothing was in the right place because it wasn't connected. But over the days and weeks, we started to see all those packages and materials begin to take place and fit. You see, you can have a door and hinges and handles, but until it's connected, it's not really part of the building. Radiators, I love radiators because there's a sermon in there. Radiators don't give heat until they're connected and filled and powered up. Way! Way, did you hear that? I'll say that again. Radiators, now you can be the radiators, don't give heat, they give nothing off until they are connected. Come on, until they are filled. Come on, until they are powered. And I hope someone is hearing that and saying, amen and amen, Pastor. I want to be a Holy Ghost radiator for Jesus in the kingdom of God today so that heat in the Holy Ghost, warmth and love and grace and patience and peace comes off to me as I relate to and as I connect with other people. So open your heart to God and say, God, I want to be a Holy Ghost radiator in the kingdom of God this morning. I'm just digressing a little bit here today. But listen, what we're saying is this. Every single part is there for a reason. Are you hearing this today? You are valuable. You're important. Listen, here's the word of the Lord for someone sitting at home today. For some time, you've thought, where do I fit in? You felt that you're an unimportant part. Well, hear the word of the Lord today. I have made you, therefore, I have a place that you fit. That which makes you valuable in the eyes of the Lord. An important person when it comes to connecting and being part of valuable relationships. Amen and praise God. Now, let's move on quickly because what are some things that living stones, these bricks in a building, actually have going for them? Well, listen to this. First of all, surprisingly, they are connected. Are you connected? Are you tied in? Are you committed? Are you part? They're connected. We weren't meant to go through life disconnected. God has designed the church as a place for you and I to be part, to be a brick, to be connected with others. We have been carefully and wonderfully fitted and joined together, part of the plan. So they're connected. Then they are there by, these bricks are there by design. No building, you see, is ever built without a master plan. There are blueprints. Someone, we know who, has thought through each part of the construction. Therefore, I say to you today, you are here by God's design, but what you need to do right now is say, God, where do I fit in? How can I serve? Who can I come alongside? Because God has a purpose for you being part of this church. You just need to figure out how that looks and how that works. So they're connected. They're there by design. But then, and I love this, they're supported. Praise God. In a building, all the parts support each other. Beams support other beams. Walls support other walls. The roof holds the walls together and the walls hold the roof up. They're all connected and they're all supporting. They're all cheering each other. That's what it's like for you and I to get spiritually connected. I say again, we were not meant to go through life disconnected and unsupported. God has designed you and I for relationships and with the community that is known as the church, that he has placed you where you can be part of something bigger than you actually are yourself, where you can receive the support and the relationships that you need. But you need to join in. At some point, you need to make a decision to join in, to take part, to be committed. You can't go on experiencing life or church just as a spectator. You show up and you leave, and you show up and you leave. Being part of the church is like being a brick connected, cemented in to the work of God and to the building. But listen to this. The Bible not only compares being part of the church with being a brick in the building, it also compares it to being part of a body. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again, the Bible calls the church the body of Christ. The church is just like a physical body. Paul speaks in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, and it reads, For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That verse is packed with truth. Truth. Notice, first of all, we're all different. Hallelujah. These members do not have the same function. Aren't you glad today that when God created the world, He created diversity and humanity in the world that He loves so much? So God made you to be you. Rejoice in who you are. Don't ever try to be like somebody else. That's not who you were meant to be. God created you to be you. And He doesn't at any point want you to be like anyone else. And I believe this is the word of the Lord for you again today. If you aren't going to be you, who are you going to be? Hear this today. You are special. You are beautiful. You are lovely. You're exactly who God made you to be. You are a one-off. You are a limited edition. No one else is like you, should ever be like you in the world. So rejoice in who you are and be glad He made you to be you, and take heart from that and be proud of what God is doing in and through your life today, because the diversity of God is there by design. God wanted all of us to be different. Why? Because it's something that we can enjoy together, the difference in each other. So notice that scripture again. We all have different roles to fill. Each part has a special function in a body. Most parts have different purposes. So hear this. And we'll be coming back into our churches soon. So I want to put this out here because we're moving into this entrance strategy for the church. Don't judge other people because they're different. They're just unique. Don't judge them. And because they do things differently than we do things. We are all different, and we therefore have different roles to fill. Notice as well, scripturally, we actually all belong to each other. The parts of the body are not in competition, praise God and thanks God. They are not at cross purposes. They should be in no competition in the body of Christ in that sense. What's good for one part of the body is good for the rest of the body, and we say amen and hallelujah, because it's exactly the same within the church. We are all on team. We're all on the same team, and we rejoice and say thank you, God, that you're putting us together to be a team that works together and gets things done. But also what I love what's going on here is this. There's a mutuality that exists between every single one of us. Although we are all different and think differently and do things differently, we belong to each other for each other's benefit. Hallelujah. And praise God. So the fact that we belong to each other means that we are needed. Amen. You are needed. We can't go off on our own and leave the rest of the body. Why? Because we don't belong to ourselves. We now belong to the rest of the body. So we have an obligation to do our part to keep the rest of the body healthy. And I hope and pray we're doing that through prayer right now. Keep that going. It's working beautifully. Then notice that every part is necessary. One part of the body can't say to the other, I don't need you. Listen to this. There is no such thing, I'm putting it out there, there is no such thing as an insignificant part of the body. Did you hear that? None at all. There is no such thing as an insignificant member of the church. Amen. and hallelujah. Notice also, we need to be, we must be connected. Listen to this. We cannot grow and accomplish God's purposes in life on our own. It's impossible. We need to do that being part of fellowships, being part of the church. Here's another thing, we'll throw this out there while I'm on a flow this morning. We as members, understand this, or we who are part of the church, of the body of Jesus Christ, we cannot attack another part of the body without doing harm to the entire body, the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to be rooting for each other and pulling for each other day in, day out. So let me say this. Our church, Moss Vale, needs everyone to be tied in, to be connected. It needs every single one who calls themselves a member to be working for the same purpose. It is absolutely vital and necessary for our growth. It's necessary for this church and churches in general to move forward. So it is possible now that even in the midst of adversity and all this is going on in our world, right now we can still, believe it or not, build solid relationships. So as we come out of this crisis and people come back into our churches, what are they going to see? I will tell you, and praise God and hallelujah in this, they will see the love and power of God, and they will see it in the beauty of how people have loved each other, cared for each other, catered one for another, and now love in action as they come together. They will see the love of God ooze out of each other's life and the need they have to serve and come alongside and be close one with another. Amen and amen. Now the last image of today, right now, is being spiritually connected is one that we are so familiar with. And it's a beautiful, and I love this, beautiful picture of the church. The Bible calls the church the family of God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, the first part. God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Consequently, listen to this, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Church, there are no foreigners in the house of God. There are no strangers. There is no backroom staff. In fact, Galatians 3 verse 28 says, there is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. We are not just like a family. We are a family. Hallelujah. And praise God and rejoice in that. You see, you and I were born into a family. Some may have been married into a family. But when you are born spiritually or born again, you're then born into a family that will actually last longer than life. You're born into a spiritual family that will last way throughout eternity. And here's what I want to say to you today. And this comes to myself and Pastor Debbie and our leadership team today. We exist. We do. We exist to be your family. We love to be part of your family. We love to love you. We love to care for you. We love to see you grow and help you grow into all that God wants you to be. Hallelujah and amen that God is working a beautiful work right now here at our church. Paul speaks again in Romans chapter 12 verses 9 and 10. Don't just pretend to love others. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. You see, it's easy to pretend that you love others. But we're called to do so much more than that. We are called to genuinely love one another. We're called to love each other, to care for one another, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to support one another, to give one to another, to help one another, to forgive one another, and so on. And one day, and if you want to do a quick Bible study here, look up all the one another text in the Bible. That's quite exciting stuff to look at, recognizing that I am actually called to be part of the family of God, and that's what it means to be a member of a family, not just a spectator in the church or someone who shows up and pays their dues in a Sunday morning. Church isn't something that we just attend, and this pandemic has proved that beyond all doubt. It's a family that you are part of. It's a family that you belong to, because hey, when you have a problem in a family, you don't just get to leave the family. You work it out. You work things through. I mean, can you imagine every time a member of a family couldn't agree on an issue, they just left that family? Listen to this. In a family, we're called to love one another. We might not like some, but we have to love all of them, and that makes all the difference in the world. So if we don't love others in the church, we're actually disobeying God. But if you want to obey God and get connected, I mean full-on connections here, then you need to choose to become part of this family. And then you need to join in and get committed and get connected to the work that's taking place here. And I want to close with one vitally important question today. And it's simply this. Why would you want to stay disconnected? Have you never yet fully, now let's be honest, have you never yet fully joined this family? Have you joined and one thing led to another and you walked away? And hey, listen, we are imperfect and flawed here. And if we've disappointed you in days gone by, and if we have failed you in days gone by, if we've let you down in days gone by, please forgive us. Please forgive us. There's only one who is perfect, and that is the Lord our God, who is sovereign and perfect in all his ways. You don't come to serve pastors and leaders. We come to worship and serve and live for God. But here's the thing. God wants to make you part of something so much bigger than yourself. He wants you to be part of God's spiritual family. He wants you to be supported and connected like a brick in a building wall. It's really up to you. You might be asking right now, watching in here, well, how do we get connected? Well, simply this. The first is to get connected with God spiritually. That's massively important. The most important and wonderful connection I ever made in my life was when I said yes to Jesus. I embrace you and accept you as Lord of my life, turned away from my wicked ways and followed him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Do I have indifferent days? Do I wobble a little when things happen? Yes. In the middle of this, we've all had wobbly days. We've all had days where it's been difficult and hard to press in and push through. But by his grace today, we stand, we remain hopeful and trust him that he is bringing us through into the greater things. So the greatest connection you'll ever make in life is with God and with Jesus. You need to make a commitment. God created you and I to have a relationship with him. We know that sin destroyed that relationship, but we also know that Jesus came to restore it. Once you've got that one sorted, once you've got that one down, the second connection to make is to get connected to the church. Now you say, this church, you're saying it now, Mossvale, or whatever church you go to, this church is going to be my home. I choose it. I embrace it. That is my family. We need you to commit to being part here of the solution. We need you to say right now, God has made me a brick in this spiritual building. We need to say he's made me to be a member of this family, a part of this body. And then, we need to pledge to do everything in our power to make this family a place of safety, a place of security, and a place of love for you. Be blessed today. Get committed. Get connected. It won't be long before we're sitting back in this sanctuary again, beside each other, worshiping together, hearing the word together, and having fellowship one with another. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the salvation, hallelujah, that you give us, the greatest gift of all we've ever known. Thank you that we can be connected to you. There might be someone listening who wants to say, Father, I desperately want that relationship with you right now. We'll simply say thank you that Jesus died for your sins and he's bringing you into relationship right now. Today, I accept Jesus as Lord so that I now may properly be related to you. Amen. Now and for eternity as part of the family of God. Thank you as well that you've given us your body, your family, the spiritual building that you are constructing. Thank you that we don't have to go through life disconnected and isolated. Thank you for creating a spiritual family for us. And may we never, ever again take the family of God for granted. Amen. Be blessed and rejoice as you go into another week. We'll keep you up to date with everything we're doing. There's lots of stuff on midweek and Facebook and social media that you can tie into. Check that out if you will. It'll bless you. Just give you some food for thought during the week. But we miss you. We love you. We're looking forward to getting together again real soon. Stay safe and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.